All right, good evening, everyone. Thanks for coming out. We are up to our 20th class on the Rebbe's. We're in the early part of the 20th century. We are in Russia, or White Russia, near Ukraine. And we are going to be introduced to Rav Yisrael of Ruzhin. He lived from, as you can see, from 1796 to 1850. And interestingly enough, I found this in the book Hasidism by David Biel. There is a description in a book by a Jewish traveler by the name of Bonaventura Meir, who describes in his book, Die Judib Unserer Zeit, what it was like to meet Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin. So this is what he writes. He's a man lacking profound scientific education, but with excellent natural intelligence. He married at 14 and since then has been serving as chief rabbi. Several times a year, he journeys to places where his followers live and stays over the Sabbath. Whoever has something against someone else comes to him with his complaint, and he delivers his verdict. Not according to the written law, but according to his natural intelligence. And the verdict is law. His scribe writes the verdict, and he himself signs it with great difficulty. He is so illiterate that he is barely capable of signing his own name. People come to him for advice and help, not only in legal matters, but also in all other matters of life. If someone has a barren wife, or if his liquor business is not progressing well, if something has been stolen, or if he is not satisfied with his business dealings. His reputation is great that even Russian noblemen come to consult with him, respect him, and love him. One might say that he is a person of noble appearance. His face, listen to this, except for a mustache, is smooth and beardless. He has a rare talent of being able to make everyone like him. His look has such magnetic power that even his enemy cannot withstand him. Although his living quarters are built with royal splendor, he himself lives frugally and, unlike other Jews of Russia, greatly values cleanliness. One might say without exaggeration that during the week he eats no more than another person eats in a single meal. He sleeps no more than 3 of the 24 hours of the day. From early morning till 11 o'clock in the morning, he receives visitors. From 12 to 1 o'clock, he secludes himself to pray. During the afternoon, his chambers are again open to all. Each day, he feeds many people from all walks of society. They are all his guests. Sometimes, especially on festivals, the number of guests may be as much as 1,000. He himself does not attend the meal except on Sabbath and festivals. So this is how the Ruzhiner is described. The question is how accurate is it? And amazingly enough, in Hasidic sources, it was well known that this was the Ruzhiner. He was known for being quite regal of an individual. Just to give a little bit of the story, his father was a Hasidic leader. His father unfortunately died young, and his brother took over. And his brother Avraham, was also very young when he passed away. He dies at 26 years old, and we know from the sources that Rav Yisrael takes over when he is just 16. So he may not have even been able to grow a mustache at those age. What we learn from this also is that it has not always been Hasidic practice to have the full beard. But nonetheless, there are a number of stories about the Ruzhiner that people would come to visit and they would ask him where the Ruzhiner Rebbe is. And he realized that he had to grow a beard afterwards. So apparently he may have or may not have grown a beard. He rejected penance and asceticism, despite his frugality. So just interesting stories. His court was quite opulent, but he himself lived a very, very minimalistic life. So just to give an example, one of the stories they tell about him is that he would wear the golden boots of the nobility, but unlike the golden boots of the nobility that had leather soles, his would only be gold on the outside, but the bottoms were empty, so he would walk on the cold ground and experience it. And the way they would explain this is that for the Rebbe Yisrael of Rizhin, the opulence was there only and solely for the honor of God and not for his own honor. And as you can see here, he had many, many Hasidim. He collected many, many followers. He seems to have been an extraordinarily charismatic leader. And even though he collected numerous followers, he nevertheless retained kind of this eternal modesty. Just to give you a quote here that's quoted in his name, a number of his quotes were preserved, including a number of stories related to him, because he could not teach text, and we'll talk about why he was potentially illiterate. So he says, there are two kinds of servitude. One person serves God through Torah, prayer, and worship, while another serves him through eating, drinking, and other worldly pleasures. Because of this service, there are people who question his conduct. Most people stumble and become entangled in the lusts and pleasures of this world. Therefore, when tzaddikim worship God through all these things, they raise up all those people who are ensnared in the corporeal. So what he's essentially saying is that by his embracing of material pleasures, what he's doing is atoning, because in the way he embraces in material pleasures, his goal is to raise them up as an avoda, as a path of serving God. And therefore, what he does is he corrects the mistakes of others who utilize the material joys of this world, the corporeal joys of this world, for material purposes and not for spiritual purposes. Just a fascinating story, just like all the stories are running around in my head that I read this past week about the Rizhiner. So one interesting story is it tells that the Apta Rav Yoshua Heschel, who we learned about, he once was gozer, he decreed a fast on the entire Russian community because of whatever tsar or difficulty was coming to pass. And Rav Yisrael of Rizhin, as soon as he found out about this, he went out into his courtyard where there was a group of minstrels who lived in his courtyard, and he told them to begin playing their beautiful music. And this was supposed to be his form of avoda, of calling out to God by listening to the beautiful music. He was raising this up and turning it into a form of avoda. And apparently when this was told to the Apta Rav that Rav Yisrael of Rizhin did this, so he says, oh, he's fulfilling the words of the pasuk that when there's a milchama, when there's a war, v'hari osem b'chatzotzros, that you're supposed to call out with the trumpets. So what he was doing was using that type of experience. Again, he rejected the type of asceticism that we're used to oftentimes in some Kabbalistic circles. That being said, he was not a magic worker or a miracle worker. Unlike what we've seen until now, where there were these epic sermons that the Hasidic Rebbes would give that were recorded in the various Svarim that we've been reading, he never gave a sermon. In fact, tradition has it that even at his tish, there was no singing. He loved to sing, but the tish, there was no singing. It was a silent tish where they would sit and wait, and he would often tell stories. He was semi-literate, probably dyslexic. My hunch is probably what we would call, ADD, ADHD, because of the way that he lived his life. But that being said, he turned those qualities into those detriments into positives by being this very charismatic leader. And he was known for storytelling and his homiletics, which was part of his educational leadership. One of the interesting aspects of the Rizhiner's court is he had a badchan. What's a badchan? A badchan, he had a jester. He had a court jester that would tell jokes. So one of his badchanim was a chassid from somewhere else, And the story goes that the Badchan says as follows. He stood up in front of the Rejiner Rebbe and he said, you know what the problem with being a Rejiner Chassid, he says, is we have neither Olam Hazeh nor Olam Haba. Right? We don't get this world and we don't get the next world. So everyone goes, what does that mean? You don't get this world or you don't get the next world? So he says, you know, you come to the Rejiner Rebbe's Tish. You come to the Rejiner Rebbe's Tish. And the Tish is surrounded, you know, all the big Talmidei Chachamim in the world are coming each and every Shabbos to hear the brilliant wisdom of the Rejiner Rebbe, right? And so you don't get a seat. If you're a chassid, you don't get a seat at the table. You know, you end up all the way in the back. So you don't get shirayim. You don't get anything from the Rebbe's table. You know, if you want to meet with the Rebbe, you gotta wait 3 weeks before you get an audience with the Rebbe. And he says, and then what happens? You come to Shamayim after 120 years, and they tell you, which type of chassid were you? And he says, I was a follower of the Rejiner Rebbe. So they say to you, oh, a follower of the Rejiner Rebbe, you should be, you know, a big Talmud Chacham. You should be someone who is of great spiritual power. And then they look at me and they say, oh, what are you? So I didn't get to enjoy the Rebbe in Olam Hazeh, and I don't get into Olam Haba. They send me to Gehenim because I didn't live up to the quality of what it means to be a Rejiner Chassid. He says, but if I were a Chassid of some other Rebbe, so not only I asked to see the Rebbe asked me how I am, he asked me how my family is, how my... I get all this time with the Rebbe. And then after 120 years, I come up to Shamayim. They say, which type of chassid were you? And I say, I was a schlepper chassid. And he goes, wow, that's pretty impressive for a schlepper chassid. You get into Olam Haba. So then the Badchan would end it off. He says, but I'm happy to give up Olam Hazeh. For Olam Haba, for the Olam Hazeh of being a follower of the Rejiner Rebbe. That's what they used to say. So he had a Badchan that would speak there for him. Even though he was not a Lamdan, the rumor has it that he would, or the stories tell, that he would walk through the Beis Medrash while everyone was learning, and he would sing bum, 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 like that, a song. And once Misnagid says, why do you sing bam, bam, bam? So the Rebbe said to him, because it says in the Shema, right? V'shinantam levanecha, you should teach your children, v'dibarta, bam, right? and you should speak. Yeah. So he says the pasuk about learning Torah right there in the Shema. So that was one of the things that he used to do. He used to go around telling them. He was known for having a very quick sense of humor, for being very bright, and like I said, people would come to him because he had this immense natural intelligence, even though he essentially could not read a sefer. And the reason he couldn't read a sefer is because his father died when he was very young. His older brother became the Rebbe as soon as his father died, which means that from the very young age, he had really no one to educate him, and he just became educated on his own, and that education itself was very powerful and influential. So I must say, there was not a single story that I read. I read there was a whole website that collected the stories of, it's called Zusha, it collected all the stories of Rav Yisrael of Rezhin. It was really hard for me to choose three, but I chose three. And we'll learn some of his stories, and you can see maybe a little bit why he was treated with such nobility, even though he was not necessarily the scholar that we're used to a lot of the Rebbe's being. Okay. This is my first one. Is the one I really enjoy. So you're all aware that Hasidim, it is their practice. When do they daven shachris? When the spirit takes them, right? When the spirit takes them. And when do they daven mincha? When the spirit takes them, right? So tells the story as follows. Chabura shel Hasidim. There's a group of Hasidim. Shayu bedarkam l'rabam Rabbi Yisrael Mirozhin. They were on their way to visit Rabbi Yisrael. Nichnasu l'achsanya achas, so they went into a certain inn. Ra'u bal ha'achsanya, omeidu mispal b'sham u'cheres. They walk in, it's already late in the afternoon, and the bal ha'achsanya, the innkeeper, he's davening shachris, you know, in past z'man tefila, l'achar shekvar avar z'man tefila. the time of prayers have already passed. So what do the Hasidim do? Garu bo Hasidim. They ridiculed him. Amar lahem balach sanya. So says the innkeeper to them, Halo kama v'chama tzadikim mefursamim eina makbirim al zman hayatvila. Says, you, Hasidim, isn't a little bit hypocritical for you to be criticizing me for davening after zman? You know, there are plenty of Hasidim who daven after zman. So akach hishivu lo ha-chasidim b'mashal sheshamu mipi rabba. So they responded with a mashal, with a parable that they heard from Rav Yisrael. What was the parable? Ma'ise ba'adam echad, a certain person, shebechol yom b'shuvo mi'avodoso, every day when he would get back from his work, ha'isa ishto magisha lo es aruchaso, lechem uborsht. Every day his wife would feed him for dinner, bread and borscht. Marak salak, right? Pamachas his akva. Once times, she was delayed. Verak achar kama shows, and after a few hours, hivyalo es aruchaso. Took an extra 2 hours, and finally his dinner got to the table. And what did he get? He got bread and borscht. So gar ba ba'ala. So the husband got upset at her. V'amar. Shatakti vim tanti b'savlanut. I sat here and waited for you with patience. Ki chashavti sha'at bevadai torachas umachnisa suda shleima basar umatamim. I'm waiting 2 hours. Why? Because I'm figuring I'm getting steak, I'm getting potatoes, I'm getting vegetables. Vihine zo asuda regila. And what do you give me? You give me the same bread and borscht that I got yesterday. I don't know what. You could have given me that at 6 o'clock instead of at 8 o'clock. Why do I need to wait for bread and borscht? So the criticism of the innkeeper is implied, right? You, Mr. Innkeeper, you're giving him this pathetic davening late. Are we Hasidim? Why do we wait? We wait because we're giving HaKadosh Baruch Hu the davening he deserves. You know, we're giving him, more than bread and borscht in our tefillah. So, lamein mikach vavein hosifu chasidim. The chasidim answer, you got to understand. Ki ra'ui haya lechalish yispalel bezman. You, who you have a borscht and a borscht belt davening. You have a borscht and bread davening. You should daven bezman. So ana lahem balach sanya. So answers the balach sanya to them v'amar, Adam zeshe sipartem alav. This man who you told me about, kanira shelo haya shelom beino uvein ishto. Seems to me that he didn't have such a good relationship with his wife. Sharei ilu haya shalom v'ahava beinehem. For if there were truly peace and love between them, haya mikavelet be'ava es hayichur. What would he do? He would accept even a late prayer, even a late borscht and bread. V'lo haya echpat lo im basar hivia or borscht shel selek. So he says it wouldn't matter whether she brought him meat or beet borscht. Either way, he'd be happy. Okay? Oh, this is taka response, right? Implication, if you really love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it doesn't matter, or if HaKadosh Baruch Hu really loves you, it doesn't matter when you daven. Kishabau achasidim el rabin berojin. So when they get to Rojin, and sipru lo es devrei balach sanya, they told him what the balach sanya said. Amar lahem harebi, so says the Rav Yisrael of Rojin, de'ulachem, you should know, ki yeshnam anashim shenishmasam yarda el haolam hazeh b'shvil davar echad shetrichim heim lomar. So some neshamos come down to this world only to tell us one thing. And so Rav Yisrael Rojin says, this is taka, that's a good addition to the story. Kishechazru achasidim leveisam, avru derech osa achsanya. They went past the same inn when they went home. V'rav sheniftar osa ish v'nistalik. That very same person, he died. But what was the point? You get the point. It was good. All right. So that's story number one. Well, actually, I've told you like 5 stories already from Yisrael Rojin. But they only get better. Because not all of them are, do you get the message right away? But that one was clear. All right, Pamachas, story number 2. Pamachas, kishinifra Rabbi Yisrael mirujin miacha michaveira pakrovim. So he says, once when Rabbi Yisrael was leaving one of his friends' homes, Hiniach yado al mezuzah. He placed his hand on the mezuzah. Va'amar yedidi. He says, my beloved, eini choshesh lisbayesh mit b'toras mipnei melech hamashiach. He says, you know, I'm not going to be embarrassed by how much or how little Torah I've learned when I meet the Mashiach. Why? Hare yadua shamashiach omer ki Torah me'iti teitzei. Everybody knows that when Mashiach comes, he's going to be overflowing with Torah. Okay? Hayisa choshev shemamash Torah chadasha. And what's it going to, everyone's going to say? It's like mamish, a new Torah, like we never saw before. Hare, but what are you going to say? It's a new Torah. Hare echad mikari emuna husha Torah lo tuchlaf. But isn't one of the tenets of our faith that we're never going to switch Torahs, that this Torah is it, right? We're never going to get another Torah. Elazeh mashiyeh. But this is what's going to happen. Hamashiach yigaleh b'Torah chidushim ka'ile. The Mashiach will be innovative in the Torah with such chidushim. Sheyibayshu et kol lomdeh Torah shelo ra'u eskolzeh. All the other lamdanim, all the other tamidei chachamim, they're going to be ashamed that they were not able to interpret the Torah with such innovative interpretations. Ve'atorah tera'e lahem kechadasha, and the Torah will look brand new to them. Ve'ani lo espayesh b'torasi b'zman hazehu. I won't be ashamed at all that I didn't figure these things out. Atayodeh lama, you know why? K'she'avi niftar hayiti tinok. When my father died, I was still a little baby. Vilo hispakti lilmod mimenu. I didn't get to learn anything from him. Vigam rav acher lo ayali. I never had another teacher. Ani lo lamadti klum. Ela mimashal himeid HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah atzma. Ani lamadti yashar mimenu. V'tzeh afilo mashiach lo yechal shanot. He says, anything I know in Torah, I learned directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mashiach won't be able to do anything by that. So all the Talmidei Chachamim who sit there, all these innovations in the Torah, they're going to see the Mashiach, and the Mashiach's going to have all these new innovations, and they're going to go, Gevalt, how come I didn't think of that? And I'm going to say, look, everything's new to me. Whatever I know directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I won't be ashamed. So that's a powerful a message on the power, shall we say, of the simple understanding that Rav Yisrael of Rizhin had. Okay, next story. Haben shel Abadchan, the son of the jester. A really interesting story. It's a long one, but it's worth your time. So the story goes as follows. Pamachas besudas lel Shabbos. What? So the Hasidim collected all of his stories into books, and they're quoted in various places, and this website brought them all together and also put them into a more modern Hebrew to make it easier for all of us to understand. So the story goes as follows. Pamachas besudas lel Shabbos lakach Rabbi Yisrael mirujin et kos hakiddush biyado. So Friday night, the Rebbe is about to make Kiddush, takes the Kiddush cup in his hands, upatach, and he opened, vayer vayvoker kanahug, as normal, lefeta, and suddenly, hiniach Rebbe miyado es hakos, v'mid al shulchan. Then he put down the cup, and he put it on the table. It's yashiv v'kiso, he sat back down in his chair, v'hitchil b'sipur maisa, and he started telling a story. So what's the story? Shnei gvirim chashuvim archu chasana liyaldehem. Two significant individuals, wealthy guys, they're making a wedding for their children. Ulofi hamekubo b'chasunos ashirim, and as is commonplace in wealthy weddings, higiu lamakom gam batchanim. Shu shows up, court jesters, they also show up. Hanoagim l'shasheh l'ragish es ha'kal t'murat tashlum. What's their job is to make everybody laugh for payment. Revach na'at zipui mi'chasunat ha'ashirim. And they were expecting to make a good living off of the wealthy, off of this wealthy wedding. V'shal kach koreliitim shekama batchanim mitcharim zeh bezeh al usah ha'chasunat. So what do you have? You have a bunch of different batchanim who are fighting over the rights for it to be the badchanim at this chasana. Ba gam chasana zo hischaru b'neim shnei badchanim sheigiu l'makom. So two of the jesters, they start fighting with one another. So we'll have a nichneu sam Ruvein and Shimon. We're going to call them Ruvein and Shimon. So kishira'u ha-mechusanim, kishnei abad-chanim misko titim b'neihem. When they saw that the two jesters were fighting, hichlitu la'arot tacharut. They said, we're just going to have a contest. Kol echad min abad-chanim yamod al-shulchan kemukubal. Each one of the jesters will stand on the table as is commonplace. V'yomar divrei b'dicha. And each one will tell a joke. The one who makes everybody laugh, he'll stay in the chasana. And his friend, the loser, right, last comic standing, his friend is going to have to leave. Goral hupal. So they made a goral. They made a lottery. V'zacha Ruvain ledaber rishon lifnei akal. And Ruvain was the one who won the lottery. Amar Ruvain ala shulchan v'siper. So Ruvain got up and he tells the following story. Raboy sai, asaper lachem maisa nifla shekara li ba'atzmi. I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me. Hikshivu, listen, utechina shechem. Listen and your mamish, you'll be plotzing. Hine ani Ruvain abadchan. Me. Ruvain the jester. Kasher higati legil amatim. When I got to the proper age, nasasi li isha, I married a woman. Kifi shetzivanu osan, tziva osanu Hashem Yisbarach, as the Holy One commanded us. Gam ben noladli. I also had a son. B'mazel tov. Ukishenola b'neinu. When my son was born, amarti li ishti, I said to my wife, di'i, you should know. Lach shekasuv b'sfarim kishlosha shutvim yesh b'yitziras ha'adam. There are three partners in the creation of each individual. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aviv v'Imo, Hashem, and father and mother. V'im kach, and if this is true, b'neinu zeh, our child, this little boy, gam b'no shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not only our child, but he is the child of the Holy One. What do we need? We need to preserve him, right, in holiness and sanctity, as is worthy of the child of God. My wife is a proper woman. The words went into her heart. May also hayom hirgisha sheyeled ze einenu kashar hayeladim shebaulam. And she felt that this child was not like the other children of the world. V'lachin shamra ala yeled mikol mishmar. She protected him from everything. And b'chol yom hevia es hayeled ba'arisa shel beis hamedrash. And every day she would bring him into the room of the beis hamedrash kedei sheyishma dvarim shebikdusha, in order that she should hear, that he should hear holy words. V'kantzu ba'oznav divrei Torah, and he should hear words of Torah. V'kach gidla ishti es hayeled b'tara v'kedusha gedola. That's how he grew up in purity and sanctity. Ma'o marlachem, what can I say to you? Al yeled shekazeh ne'amar ashrei yolato. On such a child, praiseworthy be the one who gave birth to him. U'kemoshe esbiru ha'mefarshim, and as the rabbis explained, Hadvarim anemru, these things were say on me, she'imo lohotzia sarisa so mi beis hamedrash. It says on the mother that never took the crib out of the beis hamedrash. Lo avru shanim rabos, it wasn't long. Vinoldu lanu ot shnei banim, we had two more children. Gam osam ratzda ishti legadel mitoch kedusha. Those also my wife wanted to raise in sanctity. But she was so involved and invested in our eldest child. So when I saw that the child had reached the age when we could start teaching him, I said to my wife, there are three partners in the creation of a person. We now have three sons. We're going to separate them, three children. Each one of the partners takes one child. And each one of the partners will take care of one child. The eldest Who should that belong to solely? To the Holy One, blessed be He. De'ilach isha. You should know this. Kach amarti, ki ne'mar gam chanuch lanar al pi darko ki yazkin lo yasur mimena. It says that you should teach every child according to his needs. It's time to teach him. So I'm going to quit everything that I've done, and I'm going to teach this child in order to raise him for Torah and holiness and sanctity. What can I say to you? I wrapped him in a talis. I brought him to cheder kefishinog. Arachti sudos mitzvah la'aniyim. I made all sorts of sanctified occasions for poor people. Uvizbazdi achinucho shel hayeled mamon rav me'od. And I spent tons of money to educate this child. Ukshegia hayeled l'shnas bar mitzvah. Shuv arachti seuda gedola. Upizarti mamon rav l'tzedaka. Once again, I made a big seuda at his bar mitzvah, and I gave a lot of money to tzedakah. Hanar shekvar gadol b'torah me'od. This child, who is now a young man of great scholarship, darash az lifnei akal drasha nifla kokach. He gave a drasha at his bar mitzvah. You can't even imagine. V'charaz ba nigle v'nispar v'charifus v'kios v'chol chelkei haTorah. He spoke of Nigla, Nistar, Kabbalah, and Halacha, all aspects of the Torah. V'chol ha'ir dibru al b'neinu. In the entire city, everyone spoke about our son. V'amru, and they said, ki ein safek she'in kamoso b'chol ha'olam. There is none like him in the entire world. Lo ye'amein, you won't believe it. Malach mishamayim. He was an angel from heaven. Ka'es yadati, and now I knew, ki hitzlachti b'ma'asai, that I was successful. B'chira'oi hayele li'karei b'no shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This child is the son of the Holy One. V'ulam, however, kasher higia hazman lo'vil hanar l'chopa, when it's time to marry off this child, lo yacholti lahaskim l'shum hatza she'etziu l'fnaya hashadchanim. I couldn't agree to any girl to marry this boy. Why? Ashirim gedolim, great wealthy people, ratzu l'shadeches anar levitam, they wanted to marry off their daughter to my great son, aval anisi rafti, but I said no. Hare mira oy lakachas lo l'chatan, b'no shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo v'atzmo. We gave this child to who? To HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So who is worthy that their daughter can marry HaKadosh Baruch Hu's son? Yadati hetev b'chozos. Nevertheless, it's a mitzvah. You gotta build a house in Israel. But who's worthy of him? Mitoch kach nasesi mar nefesh. I became bitter of spirit. Uvitzarli, and in my great anger and distress, yatzati el hasadeh. I went out into the field. B'makom mesuyam shafachti es libi lifnei ribon haolamim, and I poured out my heart in front of the Holy One. Oy, woe, Ribonoi Shaloilam. Karasi, I called out to you. Hare Yodea ata ad kama tarachti avor nar zeanikra shimcha b'no shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know how hard I worked, to how much I invested in this child of God. Ava mira oy lios hamechutin shalo. Who is worthy to be his mechutin? Mechutin shelcha yisparach. That's going to be your mechutin. It's your child. Who's going to be your mechutin? Hare yadua lekulam ki al mechutanim lios shavim ruuyim zelazeh. Everyone knows that mechutanim, they need to be equal. Ve'ata. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hare kasuv ein ki ein do melach. There's no one like you. Amnam heitziu chachameinu. But nevertheless, our rabbis taught us, Kira uy l'adam l'redes mi madregaso. Sometimes you gotta step off your high horse. Kidei sheyatziach l'isa'isha, in order to marry a woman. Uvechein, so, ra'uy gan shagam ata titpashir ma'at. You need to compromise a little bit also. V'tachatein et bincha im atzadik ha'shalem biyoter. Okay, and you need to marry off your child to a tzadik. Tzadik Shalem v'kadosh, kemosh Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom. You need to marry off to someone like Moshe Rabbeinu's daughter. Ulam kan yesh be'aya, but we have a problem. Himshachti v'tanti d'fnei Hashem itzbarach, so I continued before Hashem. Halo hanar eno karoy be'emet al shimcha el al shemi. He says, what's the problem? I can tell everyone that he's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's son, but they still call him Shlomo ben Reuven. He's called by my name, not by your name. He's not called Shlomo ben HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chulam mechanim oto b'no shel Reuven abadchen. Everyone calls him the son of Reuven, the jester. V'eze tzadik yirtze lishtateich im badchen hedyot v'ani kamoni. You think anyone's going to want to marry you off their daughter to the son of a simple jester like me? B'shakach ani mevakesh mimcha. Therefore I ask you, Ribono shel Olam, shetafoch osi la'ashir gadol, you should turn me into a great wealthy person, kidei shiye ra'oi gam letzadik hador shiye mechutan shelo, v'eschaten es bincha im bito. And this way, because Shlomo is called by my name, all the tzadikim will want to marry off their daughter to my son, because I'll be a wealthy person. K'sheshama HaKadosh Baruch Hu atzasi, when Hashem heard what I said, kineitz miyad etz beit dino v'echlito shehatzadik imo. What did he do? Imi. Hashem gathered his beis din, gathered his court, and they said, you know what? The guy's right. Miyad shamati kol kore, I heard a voice from the heaven say, Reuven amod kan v'ushak kanfei mi'ilcha. So it says, Reuven, open up your coat, the corners of your coat. Kesha'asiti kach, when I did that, miyad naflu mitabaos matbeos min hashamayim. What happens? Coins from heaven fell into my coat. Hon rav ve'atzum, immense amount of money. Hayashar l'toch kanfei mi'ili ha'mushat, right into my coat. Vani paniti v'ratzti v'simcha al-bisi, I turned around and I ran to my house. Ki ara Hashem be'oni v'afachti le'ashir. Hashem saw how poor I was, and he turned me into a wealthy person. Ma'o mar lachem rabosai, what can I say to you? Himshich Reuven abadcham v'siper, he continued and said, be'on ha'od hani holeich li al beisi, when I went to my house. V'nei Shimon zeh, who did I see on the way back to my house with all my money? I bump into Shimon, the other badchen. Hamechakeuti kikof kvar shanim rabos. Shimon, who is copying me already for a bunch of years. He copies me like a monkey. Omeid bedarki, standing right in my way. The kesher ra'at kanfei mi'ili ha'meleim zahav avanim tovos. He sees that my coat is filled with gold and all sorts of precious stones. Kinei biker galo. What did he do? He became jealous of me. V'sha'al. Halo ata gam badchan pashut kamoni. U'meheichan kol ha'osher hazeh. Hey, you're a badchan like me. Where are you getting all this money from? But you know what? I'm not a negative person. I'm not, you know, that type of guy. I'm not, you know. So what did I do? Himshich Reuven v'siper. Lo histarti davar. I didn't leave anything out. V'siparti lo hakol. So I told him the whole story. Shimon zeh. So this Shimon. Chakyan aluv shekamoso. This copycat. Rats miyad el makom ha-misuyam shebo amati. He goes back to the exact same place. V'tza'ak b'kol ki gam b'nohu b'no shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he says to Hashem, you know, my son is also the son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'gam hu tzarich la'asiyo v'chulei. And he needs to marry him off, etc. Gam hapam, this time also, kines HaKadosh Baruch Hu es beis dino. Hashem, what does he do? He gathers his court. V'ulam, however, v'pam zo pasku kishimon ze shakran hu. What did they decide? That Shimon is a liar. And what happens? V'chol ma'asav, in all of his actions, rakhiku yumaisekov shel advarim sha'asisi ani. And what is he? He's just a copycat of everything that I do. Oi, emes yesh sham bashamayim. And up in heavens, what do they accept? Only truth. V'einam yicholim lisvol shakranim. And they don't tolerate liars. V'shal kach pasku miyad, they paskind immediately, ki onsho shen Shimon yes tiras lechi mitzaltzeles nefnei kol akal. The only thing to do is that the punishment for Shimon is that he needs to be smacked powerfully in front of everybody. Ki ra'kach, because only then, yedu kol ha-shakranim, only then will all the liars know, ki ra'ui lahem shelo yasu kemasav shel Shimon, that they shouldn't act like Shimon. Ve'achshav, ve'oso rega yarad Reuven min ha-shulchan shalav amad, Reuven gets down from the table he was standing on, ufana ha-yashar el Shimon, and goes directly to Shimon, ha-badchan, the other badchan, mul kol ha-kal, and in front of the entire congregation, kiyoim bo es ha-gzar din. What did he do? He fulfilled the gzardin from Shamayim. V'chalak lo stiras lachi mitzaltelech toshu mitzalek oto min ha-makom. And he smacked him so hard that Shimon had no choice but to leave the wedding. Kol zos siper ha-rebi mirjin. The Rebbe told this story. Lachar shekvar hitchil ba-miras kiddush al kos ha-yayin. After he already started to make kiddush. V'kaes. And now, k'shesiyem ha-sasiro kamim komo. And now, when he finished the story, he got up. Hirim shuvet hakosh bizlavus gedola v'asa kiddush, and he made kiddush. So, what that story means, your guess is as good as mine. But I don't know. I read it, and I'm like, you know what? That's a great story. So that's Rav Yisrael of Rizhin, one of the most influential rebbeim of his time, whose wisdom was a natural wisdom, as opposed to a book smarts.